Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Board of Education meeting of July 21st, 2020. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in a moment of silence. A moment of silence this evening will be for our families who will have some decisions they're going to have to make over the period of the next few weeks. I pledge
allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America.
And the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we have the roll call, please, Mrs. Fruth?
Yes. Mr. Shank?
Here.
Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Mrs. Miller?
Here.
Mrs. Molnar?
Here.
And Mr. Zavisky.
Yeah.
I need a motion to adopt the agenda as written with the addition of an addendum under new business items G and H. May I have a motion, please?
So moved. Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. We have no staff and community recognition this evening. Public participation. Mr. Gregory, did you get anything?
I do not. No, did not.
Okay. Anyone else get an email? Okay. Treasurer's report.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Molnar. This is the year-end recap. We, just so you're aware, our actual revenues came in within 0.38% of estimates. With students losing out on 24% of the school year, our expenditures, along with outstanding encumbrances, were below estimates by 3.6%. So this allowed us to have higher cash balances at the end of the year than originally estimated, which is good news. Some items the board's going to be approving tonight. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Return of the year in advances back to the general fund. That was all sent out. There's going to be a total of about $360,000. It'll go back to the general fund from various funds. The other thing is I'm asking for an update on the temporary appropriation measure. The entire budget is about $60.4 million, but the appropriation measure is about $58.4 million. We did receive notice that Oregon will be receiving an additional $190,000 for the Corona Relief Funds. We've got another $100 million from the state. I think it's being funneled through the state from the feds. But it has not been, like it was just a newsletter, it hasn't been appropriated to us in the CCIP yet, so that is not in this appropriation measure yet. We'll add it once we actually get more than just an email about it. We need a little bit more before we put in our appropriation measure, but that has all been passed out to you. Some miscellaneous items. We have replaced our online payment system. It's no longer EasyPay. It's been replaced with PaySchools. And parents will be provided with the link to set up a new online payment account. Oregon schools, the board approved, will be paying all convenience fees and no additional charges to parents for paying online. And that's important. Fees can be paid through PaySchools with either the credit card or you can use an ACH directly out of your bank account. In either case, there's no charge to you. And this will be entirely set up by the parent when they sign up. If parents are not going to use an online payment platform, they will pay the building secretaries, okay? We have some new lunchroom protocols this year. Lunchroom that will not in the lunch line, there will be no checks or cash received in the lunch line. We need to keep people moving. We have social distancing. I believe that cashiers are going to have to be personally punching in everybody's number, so we don't have the time to handle the cash. So either pay online or students will need to bring the cash or checks, and this is staff too, to the secretaries in the buildings who they can then post it to their lunch accounts for them with this new system. These protocols will be sent out by Mr. Quigg and Mrs. Laurel. We don't need everybody sending different stuff. So it's going to come out through the normal process. You'll get the links and everything. So those will be coming in the coming days. All this stuff opens up Thursday. The last thing I wanted to talk about briefly is there's an agenda. One of the items that is on the addendum does relate to fees. It was noted actually by our tech director that we were charging a one-to-one participation fee for junior high and high school students in order for them to take their computers home. And yet if we're on a hybrid system, or even last year, we just sent all the computers home with all the elementary kids and the Eisenhower kids. And that didn't necessarily appear a fair way to handle it. Couple ways we could handle it is charge the elementary kids too, or waive the one-to-one that has been established the last few years for this year only. And then make it very clear that K-6, if a student harms, and this needs to be something they did intentionally or accidentally, but if they harm a device for more than $25, they will be charged. So we can discuss this in the agenda, but I just wanted to make sure it was clear that that's really what this is. A no vote just leaves it exactly how it is now, where the junior high and high school will pay a fee. A yes vote makes it so that no one pays the fee. We waive the fee for this year, but we will be charging students and we can change the amount, but $25 was thrown out. So that's on there. That's my report if there are any questions. Hal will have the bulk of the report tonight.
Okay, I need a motion to approve the treasurer's report, please.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Any questions? Roll call.
Mr. Zvisky?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Anyone have a need for an executive session this evening? Okay, thank you. Moving to the consent agenda, items A and B. Are there any items that the members of the board wish to pull from the regular meeting consent agenda? Hearing none, a motion is needed to vote on that consent agenda. Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zvisky?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Moving on to new business, our handbooks. We need a motion to adopt the handbooks, the substitute teacher handbook, Clay High School athletic handbook, Clay High School band handbook, Beck Junior High, Eisenhower Intermediate, Hoy, Jerusalem, and Star. Clay 1-1 and Facet 1-1 with the addition of the following language to all of the handbooks. All students are to abide by any orders provided by the governor or the health department when school is in session. This includes, but is not limited to, specific requirements with personal protection equipment. Drafts were previously distributed to the board. May I have a motion to accept the handbooks, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion about them? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zvisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yeah. Item B, donations. A motion is needed to approve the following donations. Matthews Ford for 200 Eagle logo masks, estimated at $1,750. And items A through M, load of fund projects, 2020 donations. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zvisky?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Item C, policies. The following policies have been reviewed and revised and are being presented for their first reading. A recommendation for the adoption of these will be made in August. It is for the evaluation of the professional staff and the evaluation, second part of the evaluation staff, and for face coverings. Now you have that's just first reading. Moving on to item D, board approved training. We need a motion to approve the attendance of board members at the 2020 OSBA conferences, allowing for the district to cover for registration, lodging, meals, and mileage as provided for board policy BHBA. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Will they be holding any 2020 meetings in the fall?
As far as I know, yes. If not in person, they will be virtual. That's
okay.
We have a plan that's there.
Okay.
Any other discussion or questions? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
I had Mr. Shea this time.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Item E, transportation contracts. We need a motion to enter into the transportation contracts with the following for the 2021 school year. Sean Smith and Elena DeLuna. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar. I'm sorry. Okay. And Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Item F, a bus bid resolution. Whereas the Oregon Board of Education wishes to advertise and receive bids for the purchase of 4 71-passenger conventional type school buses, therefore be it resolved the Oregon Board of Education wishes to participate and authorize Meta Solutions to advertise and receive bids on said board's behalf as per the specifications submitted for the cooperative purchase of 4 71-passenger conventional school buses. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
I second.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Moving on to item G on the addendum, Midwest Regional ESC agreements. We need a motion to approve agreements with the Midwest Regional Educational Service Center for visually impaired services provided to students in the Oregon City School District at the cost of $8,261 plus $1,800 for mileage. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Item H, one-to-one laptop protection fund fees. We need a motion to waive the one-to-one laptop protection fund fees for the 2021 school year. Any repairs required to school-owned technology due to student carelessness or general disregard of property costing more than $25 will be charged to the student if responsible for damages. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Okay, we're moving to the superintendent's report. Mr. Gregory.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Molnar. I am going to shift into presentation mode here. Got a lot to cover tonight, and feel free to ask questions as we go through. And I want to certainly welcome all the public that's watching right now in anticipation of what our plans are for the year. So what you should be seeing right now is our website. Do you guys all see that?
Yes.
Okay, so the sharing's working. So just to start on a real positive note, one of the projects we had in motion long before COVID hit was the resurfacing and painting of our high school gym. And I just wanted to show you this kind of, panoramic vision of the high school gym and just how beautiful it looks. I'll tell you what, it is refreshed. It is classy. I can't thank the folks that, worked hard on this, Mr. Sandwich, the coaches, the AD, all of those folks to bring this together. I think all our sports teams are going to benefit, and certainly our public is going to enjoy this as we get our teams in here, hopefully. So there's a couple of items that I need to address tonight. If you looked at the agenda prior to the agenda, if any of the public looked at it, you realize that there was not a motion to place a levy on the ballot for November. And so can you see my letter here? So I'm just going to kind of address that by reading this letter that I'm going to make public here tonight after the meeting about our levy or about the potential need for levy. So on behalf of the board, our district treasurer, and myself, we are informing our community tonight that OCS will not be placing an operating levy on the upcoming November ballot. At this time, we have taken the necessary measures internally to reduce our budget through targeted permanent reductions over $2.1 million, along with significant savings from the mandatory school closure during the last quarter of the 19-20 school year, which Mrs. Fruth mentioned in her report. In addition, the projected state revenues for this upcoming year are not as high as previous guidance suggested. We had assumed a state budget reduction of over 10%, and recent guidance suggests a reduction closer to 3.7% for a positive difference of $1.2 million. So these items, along with the economic climate that we are all living in our state and our county and community, influenced this decision. Our focus for the upcoming school year will be educating our students in the era of COVID-19. We will take all necessary steps to keep our students and staff safe, along with providing as much typical education to our students as possible. It is very hard to predict what positive or negative financial impacts will occur during the upcoming school year. With this uncertainty, we feel a levy is not in the best interest of our district or community at this time. Each year, our district treasurer, Jane Fruth, updates the district five-year forecast, which details our financial picture and predicts when we will need additional revenue. This forecast is completed each October and May. So upon completion of the October 2020 forecast, we're going to sit down and reevaluate our financial situation and determine if a levy is needed in the spring of 2021. School funding continues to be a shared responsibility, with state and local funding both sharing the balance. We will continue to keep the community informed as our financial conditions change. So obviously that's a very formal way of saying that we looked at the entire picture of everything that's happening right in front of us and made a decision that we will not be placing a levy on in November. So I don't know if any of the board members would like to make a comment or have any questions regarding that. But like I said, I will be sending this letter out to the community here later tonight just to have them informed of what the decision was. Okay. So let's talk about this upcoming school year. So if anyone would like to go to our website and see what I'm about to present, we've posted it on our website under the COVID-19 updates. So if you're near a computer or you're by, you have your iPhone or whatever, you go to our website and you click on updates and fall restart information. And at the very top, you're going to see OCS Fall 2020 Restart Options and Plan Highlights. That's a document that is going to outline and show the presentation I'm about to share, plus additional documents, and our board does have a copy of that. All right, let's get started. Been a lot of work that's gone into this, and there's still a lot of work ahead of us. I guess I want to preface this whole thing tonight with the idea that we all know it, that at any hour and any day of any week, things can change. They do change, they have been changing, and they are changing, and that's a constant that we are all living with. But at some point, we have to make a decision about what we're going to do. And tonight's the first step in that process. So, Oregon, I just have a kind of an opening message that I want to just share and read to the community. Oregon City Schools is proud of the tradition and education we have provided to students throughout our past 9 decades. Education and instruction has changed dramatically through the years, and the start of the 2020-21 school year brings new challenges and opportunities for our school system. The coronavirus pandemic has changed how we view education and brought much needed awareness to personal health hygiene practices, how our health affects others, and what remote learning is all about. Oregon City Schools is committed to providing the safest facilities and practices possible while still providing a practical education to our students. Our goal is to have everyone back in school. Meeting the needs of our families is the priority, balancing with the safety of our students and staff. We have many working families who cannot afford daycare, parents in jeopardy of losing their job if they have to stay home with their kids, and kids who need the daily structure to thrive and have educational success. Studies have shown there's an increase of mental health concerns, anxiety, abuse, and even suicides when kids are not in school. Schools play a major role in direct support for all of these concerns. Our students need to be in school with safety protocols in place. Having all our students in school is the goal, but we may not be able to start that way. We have spent a lot of time this summer talking about this. Returning to school comes with some health risks for all of us. Our goal is to minimize that risk by implementing reasonable and sensible precautions throughout the school day to keep our students and staff as safe as possible and still provide a positive learning environment for our students. This means we may have to limit the number of students in our schools at times. With everyone's cooperation and consistent application of hygiene practices, our students will have a quality and safe experience while at school. None of us can predict the future, and OCS fully understands COVID-19 is dangerous and likely will impact our staff and students on a regular basis, just as in the community at large. Working with our COVID-19 team, we will assess every situation and determine the best course of action to take to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. A cliche, but we are all in this together, that is for sure. And with the cooperation of our students and families, we can keep our schools open and traditions alive. Thank you. And I just want to throw a shout out to everyone that's been helping all summer and will continue to help guide what we do here in Oregon. Certainly our Board of Education, Mrs. Molnar, Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Savitsky, Mrs. Miller, and Mr. Shea, thank you so much for your support. Our OCS leadership team, all our central office support staff and our workers, our principals, our directors, and our supervisors. Both of our union leadership and representatives from both our unions, Mrs. Hook, who is our OCFT president, thank you. Mrs. Bodai, who is our OPSI classified team president, thank you. So many employees have been involved along the way, given us their thoughts, their opinions, and their ideas. Certainly Eric Zagowski, I never say this right, but Zadzinski, Lucas County Health Commissioner, and his team. Eric has worked with us every week for probably the last 8 weeks. And like I said in my letter last week, I can text him or pick up the phone and reach him in a reasonable time. Very appreciative of our area superintendents. They have been such a support, and we continue to text on a daily basis to share ideas. And all the community members that have reached out and shared their opinions, and I've seen them all, and all of them are valid. And it's just a matter of what point of view you are in. All right, let's get to the meat and the potatoes. These options are not going to look very different than most school district options that are out there. We are going to offer essentially 4 or 5 options based on how you want to look at it for school. Our goal is to have option 1, everyone, all students attend 5 days a week with our OCS teachers in place. But if that is not the case, we need to have other options. And another option is option 2A, which is a hybrid option. What this option is it reduces all students by half who attend school. 2 days in school, 3 days remote, all guided by OCS teachers. We have option 2B, which is also hybrid. What this hybrid is it reduces students in grades 7 through 12 by half, modeling the first hybrid with 2 days in school and 3 days remote. But what it does is it adds grades K through 6, attending 4 to 5 days per week, depending on the model. Option 3 is what we experienced last spring, which is fully remote, where all our students remain at home and attend school remotely with OCS teachers. And finally, we have a OCS Digital Academy option, option 4, which is an online curriculum. Students are enrolled, they remain at home and attend school independently using our fully online platform, Schools PLP. We've been receiving emails from interested folks on that, and we will be reaching out to them here shortly. So those are our basic options we are starting with.
So hey, I'll go back to the Digital Academy. I know a number of people have reached out to me, as just so the parents are aware, that is a semester by semester aspect, correct?
Yes, we are looking in grades 7 through 12 that if you're enrolled in the OCS Digital Academy, you are going to be enrolled for a full semester. That way we can easily adapt the courses to our credit system, because if we try to jump in between a full semester and try to match up where you were in the Digital Academy to where a teacher is in a particular course will be very difficult. And I will touch on that a little bit deeper in a later slide.
How is that Digital Academy very similar to any other, I'll say, homeschool program like K through K-12 or anything like that? Is it same basis and premise?
Absolutely. We've been using it now for 2 years or a little over 2 years with primarily our high school students for credit recovery and a few full-time students to meet their needs. But it's very simple. It's very simple to manipulate and to work through. Essentially, we assign you a username and a password, and you go in and click on the lessons and go through those one by one. It's just like the academies that advertise online. Most school districts have an option like this now to compete with those and to keep their kids connected to their home school district.
Al, with this Digital Academy, all of our courses that are offered in Oregon City Schools are not available on this Digital Academy, correct?
Yes and no. The courses in the OCS Digital Academy are very expansive. There's more courses than we offer in our course handbook, but we mirror what our course handbook, what we offer in Oregon City Schools is what we would put kids into in the OCS Digital Academy. Does that make sense?
Okay, but for instance, career and tech courses would not be available.
Correct.
Advanced placement classes would not be available, is
correct.
This correct?
Correct.
So if they were to choose the academy, say for first semester, they would not be eligible to re-enter into those programs because they would not be on track with the other students?
Yeah, we're having a little bit of discussion about that related to Career Tech Labs. But what we would do in that situation, Mr. Shea, is these kids would not actually enter, the Career Tech kids would not actually enter in the OCS Digital Academy. They would remain a Clay High School student in Career Tech, but possibly take a couple of their courses they need as a, quote, credit recovery course. Does that follow?
Yeah,
so in other words, they could remain in Career Tech.
What about, say, for instance, advanced placement like AP chemistry or math?
Right. Yeah.
Do we offer that online? I would
recommend, yeah, those kids remain at Clay High School. They will not get the same rigor at all through this academy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Anything else? And again, we'll circle back to the Digital Academy in another slide if there's more questions that come to mind. So just to review these options a little bit deeper, If we were to bring everyone back, and I will tell you, we spent the majority of the summer planning for this option. My goal, our goal, is to have our kids back in school. We know it's the best place for them. We have a calendar that is out there. The only difference to that calendar, if we came back with all students at all grade levels, would be at the high school. And that would be, we would phase in our students with freshmen starting on the first day, then add the sophomores, then add the juniors, and then have all of them begin on the Monday, August 24th. We were doing that with the goal of implementing the new protocols that we're going to have in place for those, and just kind of stepping them in and make sure that they were working and that we could adjust as the new groups came in. But essentially, the option one is the same calendar that we had originally planned for this year, you know, a couple of years ago. Option 2A, or hybrid A as I'm calling it. And I know the wording might get a little tricky, but option two, and it's hybrid A model. And let's talk about this one fairly significantly. The hours for our kids would remain the same as we've had for some time. Hybrid 2 is going to be the most safe option we have to allow for social distancing to occur in all our classrooms. And social distancing, you know, is striving for 6 feet or more, and we'll talk about that here more in a little bit. So students in grades K through 12 will be divided into two groups based on their last name. All efforts will be made to keep siblings and those students who live in the same household together. Right now, it looks like we will divide those kids in two groups, a green group and a gold group, using the last name letters A through K and L through Z. Okay, let me just kind of repeat that section. We would divide all our students in the district into two groups, a green group and a gold group based on their last names, with some caveats to that of siblings, same households, and there may be some other reasons why we would need to group kids. But what it's not going to be is a choice for people. There's no way we can accommodate everybody's choice. We're going to have to pick these letters, and we looked at our letters based on our kids' last names and the numbers that we have in our system at this point in time. So let me review what a schedule would look like using this model. We would have green attend school, or the group's last name A through K, on Monday and Thursday, and they would be remote on Tuesday and Friday. Gold will attend school on Tuesday and Friday, be remote on Monday and Thursday. All students will be home on Wednesdays. So Wednesdays, we're still working on exactly what that day will be for students. In school, it'll be most likely a day that we can thoroughly clean, certainly all our facilities, but also allow for some office hours for our staff and possibly those types of unique trainings that we need to do to implement the remote side of this. Again, we're still working on exactly what staff would do on those Wednesdays, but students would be home with an expectation of work. In addition, in this model, we are looking at specific special education programs that may go all four of those days, Monday and Thursday, Tuesday and Friday. Also, preschool special education programs would follow their traditional 4 days per week that they've been implementing over the past several years. So feel very confident that we can have those individuals go those days. So essentially what the first 3 days would look like, the Wednesday, since it is, quote, the remote day for all students, we would not have students in the building, but it's also the first day of school, so they wouldn't have devices. So most likely we would begin that with our distribution device distribution on that day, and whatever else we needed to accomplish prior to kids starting the very next day with the green group and the last and Friday, the gold group. Are there any questions on just the generic outline of the hybrid A model? All right. The hybrid B model, which is very much similar to the hybrid A model for grades 7 through 12. Okay, so I didn't re-spell it out in this slide, but it would be the same basic purpose on that. The only difference would be K through 6, who would attend school on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, with Wednesday being that deep cleaning day, day that we go through the school and make sure everything is cleaned and disinfected, even more so than what we're going to do on a daily basis, and also a day for office hours and those types of things for our staff. Again, we are still working on exactly what that Wednesday would look like. Okay, option 3, remote. We all kind of know what remote feels like, but I would say that if we were to go remote or be forced to go remote, which means all kids would be at home and be provided work remotely, I look at it as remote 2.0. We learned quite a bit on what and how things worked last spring. We would improve on that, and we have ideas and plans to roll out and train and do even a better job of connecting with kids, but it is not optimal. If we were to go remote, we would have to use those first couple of days as device pickup for our students. And then as we got those devices in their hands, we would obviously then begin implementing remote learning by class or by subject. And again, just to bring up option 4 for our families is the OCS Digital Academy, which is completely remote. All our students have this available to them. It's available for students in grades K through 12. Although I do have to say we've never had a student from kindergarten through sixth grade in it. There are courses available and we understand how they work, but that is new for us. So we'll be working together on that. If a child is in this, there's no cost to the family. They are still part of Oregon City Schools. We want them to be part of Oregon City Schools. There's no set hours or days. The expectation is courses will be completed by the end of the year or semester. So the idea is that you're going to be working independently. Oregon City Schools will provide a device to the kids that you will take home. You will be assigned a set of courses to be completed independently through the school's PLP online platform. That's the name of the platform that we use, and it's all self-paced and self-guided. Students must remain in the OCS Digital Academy for at least an entire semester, 7 through 12, or quarter K through 6. We know it'll be slightly easier to transition a student in K through 6 who was in the Digital Academy to our classrooms than it will be for kids that are in semester courses, especially those that are for credit. Beginning next week, we're going to start taking individual appointments. We have a list right now of families that have reached out to us, and essentially we will schedule an appointment with you and talk through the courses with you and assign you a username and password, and you can get started right away if you have your own computer. So essentially at the start of the school year, we will be organizing those devices for these students as well. And then your independent learning can begin as soon as you're ready to go. All right, so what are we gonna do? Well, if you haven't picked up on it yet, what we decided and what we are planning on doing moving forward from this point is to open up using option 2A or the hybrid A model. We believe at this point, given the fact that the number of cases in Lucas County is climbing, the number of cases in Ohio is climbing, the overwhelming concern from our staff, families, and community that we have heard, that opening up in a full-time model right now is not the prudent thing to do. I just have to tell you, I was all about opening up full-time for all our kids, and I still want that to happen. I believe in my heart it's the best thing for kids to be here. But I also know, and I've listened to our health commissioner, I've listened to our leadership team, I've listened to some of our teachers, I've listened to some of our support staff, I've read emails from our community, that opening up with all kids in Oregon City Schools is just, the timing is just not right to do that. The goal will be to open up using hybrid A option, the 2 day a week, 3 day remote, with the ability to quickly move into the hybrid B option and then into option one or everyone when conditions are appropriate. So what's going to influence those decisions and those factors? Essentially, we're going to be looking at a lot of different data, but we're gonna start with what our county is rated. Again, that's not gonna be the only defining factor for this, but it's going to be a big influence. And right now we are in red, which is the second from the highest in level three. So we don't know if that's gonna go to purple or may drop to orange. And both of those, the way it goes will be a big factor in whether we go to hybrid B or then begin to talk about bringing everybody back. Or if it goes to purple and things get really go south, we may be looking at a fully remote option. So obviously I speak regularly with the Lucas County Health Department and their guidance. They have seen this plan. We have been sharing components of this plan. And the health commissioner, priority is social distancing and masks. And we're gonna talk about that here in a second. We're gonna be looking at our local cases, whether they're on the rise, slowing down. We're gonna look at our own students and staff confirmed cases, which is going to happen. And staffing levels are a big concern of mine. Whether or not we can keep our staff in our schools is a big part of what we get accomplished. If we bring everybody back right now, it makes that even the more difficult. And obviously any state or federal policy that would change. All right, that's the big one. So just to reiterate, hybrid A, the model that we intend to open up with as of tonight, and so we can begin to plan and begin to think, is half our students are going to be in a green group and half our students are going to be in a gold group. We are gonna look at siblings and the same household families to keep them together. And we're going to work with our special needs populations who have low numbers in those classes and look at them coming in more often. Okay. All right. So I'm going to kind of go through what is our plan to keep kids safe. So I didn't really know where to stick this slide, but at the end of the day, we know we're going to have students who are sick, but are in our programs in school. And so students who have the virus and are self-isolating or who are in mandatory quarantine will be provided access to all our school assignments and learning material through various remote learning platforms that our staff and our teachers use, like ClassDojo, Google Classroom, and Schoology. I don't want any family to worry that if they come back to school and they're not, you know, in the Digital Academy, but they're back under the hybrid plan with us, that if their kid gets sick, that we won't support them, because we will. Students and parent questions will be handled through the classroom teacher, as we always have. As needed during this time. And as soon as the children get, you know, well, we hope that they will come back, and we expect them to come back as soon as possible upon completion of any of the COVID-19 health protocols. Transportation, it all kind of started here. We fully intend to transport all our students. I know some districts have had to scale way back, but part of the hybrid model and what that does with half the kids is it provides us plenty of ability to transport our kids, but we feel we can transport our kids even in the full model. If everyone was coming to school, we plan on transporting our students. using these conditions. All students must wear a mask on the bus to and from school and any extracurricular travel, period. No more than 2 students per seat, and we will have siblings sit together. Again, that 2 students per seat will change a little bit in the hybrid model. Less students per seat. Assign seating for students K-8. And we're then going to load back to front for students in 9-12. All students will use hand sanitizer getting on the bus, going into school. And we're going to sanitize buses prior to the AM and PM routes every day. We know how important transportation is to our community, and we're going to do everything we can to make this happen. Temperature checks. Temperature checks will be taken as students enter the buildings on a daily basis. Students with heightened readings, 100.4 or higher, will be isolated, and temperatures will be reevaluated and assessed by our school nurse for false readings. And I just want to emphasize this. Okay, we've had a lot of hot days in the last several weeks, and there's a good chance that some of the kids will be coming off a hot bus and coming into school with a temperature that's higher than 100.4. And under the direction of our school nurse, Sherry Sexton, our nurse practitioner, her recommendation is that there's going to be false readings and that we need to double check before we jump to any conclusions. So we will have a separate room, which you see at the bottom of this slide, for kids that have a temperature. And then we will retake their temperature when they've cooled down and see if that is normalized. Staff will take temperatures upon arriving to work and document that the temperature was taken. So they will do that in their normal course of signing into the school each and every day. Staff, families, and students will be asked to complete a safety pledge outlining precautionary steps that they pledge to take each day before the staff member or students enter the school. And this is simply an awareness tool that we want everyone to simply read and do their best to honor. We can prevent so much by just not bringing sick people, students or staff, into our buildings. And that has happened in the past. That practice has to stop. School nurses will be available on a daily basis to complete wellness temperature checks on a per case basis throughout the day. School nurses will also be used to educate our students on the importance of not coming to school when sick, and provide materials to families on a regular basis. And as I said earlier, separate rooms will be available to isolate students in each building. Hang in there with me. Hand sanitizer and washing hands. Students and staff will be required to use SkinGuard 24 hand sanitizer upon entry into all buildings. This type of hand sanitizer works for 24 hours and does not require additional use of hand sanitizer throughout the day. SkinGuard 24 is methanol free. We double, triple, and quadruple check that. The new product of SkinGuard 24 does not have methanol in, and I know the FDA came out and said that hand sanitizer with methanol is not safe. So we will not have any product with methanol in any of our buildings. But the SkinGuard 24 provides longer protection with less product and is more cost efficient for all of us. We use it in our office every day. We will have hand sanitizer stations strategically placed throughout the buildings for easy access to these dispensers. Additional hand sanitizers may be used throughout the day. And washing hands will be a priority for all students. Students will be continually reminded and educated on effective hand washing practices. We are told that even with SkinGuard 24 on your hands, which protects us, we never ever want to discourage hand washing, and that you could almost wash your hands, I think I was told, 10 times before you would wash off the SkinGuard 24. All right, masks and social distancing. I put a quote in here just to put perspective for us. And in many, I took a caption out of the American Academy of Pediatrics COVID-19 Planning Considerations Guidance. In many school settings, 6 feet between students is not feasible without limiting the number of students. Evidence suggests that spacing as close as 3 feet may approach the benefits of 6 feet of space, particularly if students are wearing face coverings and are asymptomatic. Schools should weigh the benefits of strict adherence to a 6 feet spacing rule between students, with the potential downside if remote learning is the only alternative. Strict adherence to a specific size of groups, 10 or 15, should be discouraged in favor of risk mitigation strategies. The only reason I share this is, under the hybrid model, the reason we are doing it is to get to 6 foot distancing and limit the number of kids that we would need to contact trace in the event of an outbreak. With that being said, at some point, we will bring all our kids back. And when we bring all our kids back, we will not be able to adhere to the 6 feet distancing. But I want to put a level of comfort to folks that there are there's research behind the idea that 3 to 6 feet is acceptable. We can get 4 to 6 feet just about in all our classrooms. But if we bring our kids back, and it's my intention to make that happen at some point, if conditions are right, we can meet this criteria. Wearing a mask and social distancing are the top two recommendations made by leading health officials, as we all know. Both minimize the risk of catching the virus. One cannot be discussed without the other. They are interconnected. OCS will require staff and students to wear a mask while at school, but allow for flexibility and removal of masks when social distancing standard is being observed in classrooms. That's a big one. Masks are important. Student seating in classrooms will be spaced out to the maximum space available per room, striving for the 6 feet based on the classroom space. The maximum space available will depend on the number of students in each classroom or space. All right, that's the core of our plan. So, all in grades K through 6, all attempts will be made to isolate groups of students and not, quote, cross-contaminate spaces with different groups of students throughout the day, i.e. music, PE, etc. Each building may look a little bit different, but the goal is to keep the same groups of students together and minimize contact with groups in case there is an outbreak. We can contact trace it back quicker and easier and have less kids affected. Students will have limited hallway transitions, but when they do, the transitions will be designed for social distancing and masks will be mandatory. Students will eat lunch in the cafeteria and or expanded spaces, allowing for social distancing to the maximum amount possible. Masks will not be required while kids are eating, but will be required when transitioning through the cafeteria. No large group gatherings will be allowed in the cafeteria, and lunch lines will be controlled for social distancing. Very similar in grades 7 through 12. The only difference is we're not going to be able to cohort kids off in self-contained groups. We just cannot do that. These kids have a 7 or 8 period day, sometimes 9 period a day, where they're switching classes. They're seeing different teachers, different subjects, different grade levels are mixed together. So what we can do is we can make all attempts will be made to minimize close group interactions with students and design activities and lessons with the goal of limited close contact interactions between students, also between staff and students. Keeping in mind that we are here to educate and we will continue to have to teach kids and we will continue to interact with kids. But we may have to look at what we do a little bit closer than we've done before. The same thing with hallways. The difference with hallways is students will have multiple hallway transitions. And when they do, the transitions will be designed in an organized traffic pattern, all right? So the junior high and the high school are working right now on what those traffic patterns might look like. It may look like something like this at the high school. Again, I say may because we haven't completely designed the plan, but it may look like when the kids leave at the bell schedule and they leave the room after the period, they all turn right and follow one strategic pattern. Does that make sense? And so we're going to look at ways that we can minimize kids going every which direction in the hallways. And again, the cafeteria is exactly the same as the K-6. We're going to eat in the cafeteria and or expanded spaces. Masks will be required in the transitions, but not while eating, and no large groups, and lunch lines will be controlled for social distancing. Student mask policy highlights. Okay, these are just four bullet points that I just want to point out. I have a larger mask policy, facial covering policy that's attached to the document that's online. But students will wear face coverings while riding on the bus at all times. Mention that. Students will wear a mask or other district-approved face coverings, i.e. face shields, in hallways and public spaces, such as transitions, bathroom breaks, arrival, dismissal, etc. So it's mandatory in the hallways. Students will be required to wear a mask and other district-approved face coverings in the classroom when the social distancing standard is not possible. That's a big one. We're doing everything we can to make it possible with the lower groups. So when we're here, we have some flexibility with those masks. I fully understand how wearing a mask all day and what it feels like. So students will wear a mask or other district-approved face coverings in the cafeteria at all times except when sitting at the lunch table. All right, staff masks. Mask or other district-approved face coverings will be worn in all public spaces within the school setting. So as teachers move amongst the classrooms or between in the hallways, they'll have a face covering on. They are to be worn when interacting with other employees or students when social distancing guidelines cannot be met. They may be removed when someone is alone in their classroom or in their office. And they are not required in the staff lounge, but social distancing guidelines must be observed in those spaces. All right. I just putting this out there because I'm not trying to create controversy in any way, shape, or form. I want to work with our students and work with our families because I totally understand there are many, many belief systems. But the mask policy is a policy with Oregon City Schools when we come back to school. If face mask coverings are required and no exceptions have been applied, students and our staff who violate this policy shall be subject to disciplinary action in accordance with the student code of conduct, staff code, discipline code, or code of conduct, and any policies with the board. All stakeholders involved, students, staff, parents, guardians, must cooperate, communicate, and be flexible so that the school environment is safe and successful and we can remain open. And one suggestion that came to me was for the younger students who aren't used to wearing masks, maybe practicing between now and the start of the school year, putting a mask on for a certain period of time at home. Okay. Keep it moving here. So cleaning, just an extra little bit on our cleaning upgrades. Sneeze guards or those plastic shields will be installed in each school office for exposed public counters. That's to protect both the office secretaries and individuals along with the guests that come into our office, our offices. Skin guard 24, the all-day hand sanitizer dispensers, 27 of them will be installed throughout the district at main entry points. And we expect our students and staff to use that upon entering the building. Again, there's no methanol in any of these products. All classrooms, buses, and buildings will have one of two disinfectant products, a Genifect, which is a 10-minute virus kill, or a Contact Plus 3-minute virus kill. Both are designed to kill all viruses and bacteria. Spray bottles will be provided and filled with the appropriate products, and they'll be in all classrooms and spaces that need to have those so that when we spray down in between periods and in between classrooms, or I'm sorry, in between periods of the day, that within 3 minutes, anything that might have been on that desk or hard surface will be dead. Restroom cleaning and disinfecting will occur frequently throughout the day using our Kyvac machines and disinfectant spray in every school. This machine will allow for the Kibosh product to be applied. All of these products are tested and proven to both clean and disinfect restrooms and will kill COVID. Again, disinfectant spray will be made available in classrooms, desks, tables on a regular basis. Classrooms, the expectation is classrooms will be disinfected each day, and it's going to be a team effort to ensure that that happens. School hallway railings will be disinfected throughout the day. We do not have a particular pattern in place yet for that, but the goal is to get through at least once or twice a day and disinfect hallway railings. Bathrooms will be disinfected once in the morning after the students arrive and once after lunch and prior to students returning the next day. And there may be specialized cleaning schedules for our career tech programs and others that we may need to implement to meet the needs of those programs.
I got a quick question.
Yes.
So did you say in between periods they're going to disinfect the classrooms?
The
in between periods or
period
when they're transitioning and the high schoolers or whatever are waiting.
Yep.
They wait outside in the hallway?
The goal, the idea, let me put it this way, and the idea is that we are going to have spray in every classroom. All right? And between every period, which again, it has to be a collaborative effort between our teachers, possibly our students, our custodians, and other folks around, that it's possible that in between every period to just do a quick squirt, right? Because we're going to have 3 to 4 minute periods, a quick squirt on every desk and hard surface, and that's going to kill anything that would have been on that desk.
Okay, so we can let the kids still come into the room as they're changing
periods. Absolutely. There's no harm. This product will not provide any harm to kids. Not at all. And if there's overspray, because sometimes you overspray, we're going to have rags in there that are cleaned on a regular basis that they could just damp up the spray and it'll still disinfect.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. All right, recess is a question. We do intend to allow our kids to have recess. Again, we are still working through ideas to make it even more safe, but they will be allowed to participate in recess and utilize all current pieces of equipment. It is outside. We may have to structure some of that so that groups of kids is more of a controlled environment than the chaos that happens now out on the recess. But we got to get kids out moving, and we want to have kids out moving. And then students will be required to wash their hands upon reentry into the school building after recess. And again, some of our buildings eat lunch after recess, other eat lunch before recess. So it may look a little different within our schools. But again, the goal is to have our kids play. And then on those yucky days that we have to have indoor recess, we'll follow mask and social distancing protocols. Guests, volunteers, visitors, and service providers. In general, no guests or visitors will be allowed in our schools without a valid reason, and visitation to school offices will be discouraged and highly controlled. What I mean by that is we have vestibules in every school, and we're going to do our best to keep families in that and bring the items to them. It won't work for all reasons, but we're going to control it the best we can. If you are deemed an essential guest, visitor, volunteer, or service provider, the individual must wear a mask, have his or her temperature taken before entering the school, complete a quick health checklist signature, and follow all employee protocols. Classroom parties involving outside food products and parent participation will be prohibited moving forward until something changes. And just to show you what we will have visitors, I guess, sign or not so much sign, but answer these questions. This is typical across just about anywhere you go right now. You know, we are going to take the temperature, so we'll know what the body temperature is. The one thing that's changing, and we all know it, is people are traveling like crazy right now. And it's going to be very, very hard to control or to keep people who have traveled in the last 14 days out, away and out. But at least we will know if they did travel. respiratory symptoms and exposure to COVID. Those are questions that we will ask. Field trips, co-curricular and extracurricular. Field trips will be prohibited until further notice. We are just not going to put our students in harm's way, taking them out to various places. Co-curricular trips and competitions will be restricted, but requests will be evaluated on an individual basis for safety and educational implications. In other words, we're going to take a look at all these situations individually and specifically, and if there's a good, safe plan we can implement, then we will allow it. If there's not a good plan, then we won't. Extracurricular athletic guidelines and restrictions will be determined working with the health department, school administration, or potentially any guidance that comes out. Right now, we are working under the assumption that the local leagues that we are in and the ADs and district administration are going to be making the guidelines for athletic contests. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And we are officially right now canceling all our three big situations, camps that we have. It's our sixth grade camp, our eighth grade trip to DC, and our a reschedule of the Clay Marching Band Disney trip. We just cannot put forth the effort in planning and funding that could be reversed if we have an outbreak at those particular times. We just can't take those chances right now. And that's very disappointing. I get it, very disappointing. Athletics. As of now, the high school athletic season will begin on time, as far as we know. August 1st, practices are set to begin, and games are set as scheduled. Although we do not have any firm guidance on high school athletic competitions at this time, I want to prepare our community for limited community participation at high school football games and possibly other events. Let me repeat that. We're going to have limited community participation at high school football games. No way around it. At best, we anticipate only allowing 50% capacity in our football stadium or no more than 2,500. Okay? Right now, we're about a 5,000 capacity stadium, which means 2,500, and that's for both home and visiting sides. We are still working on the details of that. We will certainly be getting more of that information out. But just know, it's going to feel different this year for our football. And that's, again, very disappointing. We have awesome community support for football. Tremendous. Can't thank the community enough for that. This will not be easy or fair. All tickets will be sold through an online ticketing system, and we are not planning on having any tickets sold at the gate. We are going to have to retrain our thinking on how we get tickets. We are looking at not having any passes whatsoever for students or adults or senior citizens. There's just no way to control the gate with passes. And that's going to be something the entire league is looking at doing. The situation we find ourselves in is frustrating, and fall sports will be significantly impacted one way or another. I am asking for all of us to please be understanding as we place these new restrictions, or restrictions are placed on us, and that knowing that we want to get back to the way sports were as soon as we possibly can. But I think all of us know, just watching what the news is talking about with pro and college sports, that it's not going to be business as usual. Same goes with community usage of our facilities. In general, we are not allowing the community to use our facilities moving forward. We're going to encourage all our booster and parent groups to hold meetings remotely. Community use of school facilities will be limited at best to those who have a long history of collaboration with our school system, but all events must comply with health and safety protocols and must have an approved plan assigned and approved by me. Events of any type are all in question at this point in time. And really what I'm referring to there is a lot of our plays, our musicals, our community groups, man, those are in jeopardy at this point in time. But we're not saying no. We're just saying that we've really got to talk those through before any decisions can be made. All right, I'm getting down to them, just about finished. So thank you for the time, guys. So there's a lot of conversation about what happens when students and staff are tested, they test positive or they are exposed to COVID. And I'm just going to, we met with the health department today at noon. There was a presentation, but I'm going to boil it down to the way I can understand it, very simple. If you are a student and you have been exposed to someone who tested positive for COVID-19, you must not come to school. And you must follow these steps before returning to school. The health department, if we know about it, which we will with attendance, will be contacted. And that's happening in all cases. You must self-quarantine or self-isolate. And the difference really is semantics, but self-quarantine really is when you do not have the virus, and self-isolation is when you do have the virus. Does that make sense? So self-quarantine or self-isolate for 14 days, and that 14 days could be 24 days, 36 days, or longer, depending on if you're sick, your family members around you, your health department guidance, and your primary care provider. All right. There are so many caveats to what I have written right here. But in general, if you are exposed, you self-quarantine for 14 days. If you do not get sick, you can come back to school with a simple call. You have your parents calling our school nurse for a quick return to school interview, and then we'll get you right back in. Very similar for our staff. Okay. If you have been exposed and know it, and that means 6 feet for 15 minutes or more, but again, that's going to be your decision of whether you've been exposed, you are not to come to work, all right? And the health department will be contacted, and you need to self-quarantine or self-isolate for 14 days along with family members. Once all of it is cleared, you will contact your supervisor, and we'll do a quick return to school interview. We'll get you back to work. All right, so how are we going to determine all things? We are going to have a OCS COVID-19 response team. In the event a student or staff member is exposed or at risk of exposure at school, the OCS COVID response team will evaluate, contact trace, and determine which students and staff will need to be quarantined. The reality is each individual situation will be different and have different circumstances. I have heard that over and over and over from the health department. Each circumstance may require a different response. The OCS response team will determine, in partnership with the Lucas County Health Department, the extent of student and staff impact to require to maintain safety within our schools. And right now, the core team is going to be our nurse practitioner, Sherry Sexton, who is an OCS and Mercy employee, our building nurses, our principals, and or directors or supervisors of those programs, myself or my assistant superintendent, Mr. Sandwich, Lucas County Health Department representatives, and any other as needed. For example, the AD would be involved if it's a sports related. And we're going to get to this team together as quick as possible, whether it's in person or remote, and we're going to ask all the questions we possibly can, get all the data we possibly can, because what we want to do is prevent more kids and or staff being quarantined than need be. Does that make sense? I want to isolate this as quick as possible and not overreact or underreact with shutting down the school or the building. So I'm very confident that this type of team will come in and be responsive as quick as possible. All right, last slide. Just a quick summary of everything I just said. And again, there's a lot more detail to all of these things moving forward. And please know that more communications will come out on a regular basis between now and the beginning of the school year, either from myself or from the individual buildings. We are going to, as of today, we are going to start the school year in option 2 hybrid A, which is 2 days in school, 3 days remote. Masks will be required for students and staff. Classrooms and restrooms will be disinfected daily. COVID-19 response team is in place. Hand sanitizer will be available for all staff and students. We are always going to strive for 6 feet of social distancing in the classroom, even if everyone is here, knowing that it probably won't be 6 feet everywhere. Lunch will be available to all students, and remote learning option is available for all students. I thank you tonight. I know there's lots of questions running through your head, and there's lots of details, and you're thinking about your own personal individual situation. We will do our best to answer questions moving forward. There's still a lot of time before school starts. Things could change between now and the start of the year, but we had to put a stake in the ground at some point. We are similar to many Lucas and Wood County school districts with this hybrid model. We are not the only one. And again, just to reiterate, we are doing this because we can social distance to 6 feet or more, not in every situation, but in most situations. And we want to limit the groups of kids that are together in this time that Lucas County is on the uprise and Oregon also is on the uptick with cases. So, board, I can entertain questions from you. I know, just got to get out of sharing mode here. Is there any questions at all? It's a lot to digest.
Hal, I may have missed it. Did you say something about a community forum, big thing to ask questions?
No, I'm glad. Thank you for bringing that up. I did not put that in my PowerPoint, but I do intend to schedule a community, almost like a town hall, a virtual town hall here in the next 2 weeks at some point. I also intend to do that with our staff, so possibly with the subgroups like coaches and athletes, to begin to answer questions the best that we can. I do not have a date, but let's let the community know that that will be coming here in the next week or so. So thank you, Jeff, for asking that. Okay, Mrs. Molnar, thank you for the time. And a lot of hard work by a lot of people and a lot more hard work moving forward.
Thanks, Hal. Very nice job.
Easily, it will be easy for us to move up or down through the various types of education this year. If we have to go remote, we can do that. We can get everybody in, we can do that. So good job with all the teams, and thank you for all of that. Also, if you're practicing with your child wearing a mask, make sure you cover their nose too, because so many of the little kids will pull the mask down off their nose and just cover their mouth. So you need to practice with both of those things. That's my advice to parents. Any other questions, comments? Okay, moving on to old business. The following policies were presented for their first reading in July and are now being recommended for adoption. The graduation plans and student at risk of not qualifying for high school graduation diploma and graduation requirements. May I have a motion, please, to accept those policies?
So moved.
Second?
Heather seconded.
Okay. Oh, I didn't hear that. Excuse me. Okay.
Discussion? Roll call.
All right, Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zvisky.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Moving on to board committee reports. Finance, do you have anything this evening?
Yeah, the finance committee met last week. Like I said, Hal covered most of it in his report. Essentially, we kind of talked about the cumulative reduction list of 2.1 that we, the board and the administration, have made over the last couple months. Kind of review more in detail the five-year forecasts, since we have the year-end actuals in there, looking at some of the revenue and expense trends and getting a feel for where we may end up next 3 or 4 years. Then really just different scenarios of the state funding cuts and levy scenarios for the future. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Zvisky. Any questions for him? Okay, capital improvement, health and safety.
No report.
Okay, policy personnel. We've hired a few people this evening for various positions. And policy, as we have read. Academic?
No report.
Legislative? Legislative, Mr. Shea?
Sorry about that, no report. My microphone was off.
Student achievement, Mrs. Miller?
No report.
Okay, any board discussion this evening?
Yeah, I got one thing. Like I said, we've been doing remote meetings, which I think has been prudent during the summertime when there's no need for us to head into the buildings and have staff use resources and time to sanitize the area. As we're asking students to come back into school, I assume we're going to be going back to live meetings in August?
That was my suggestion as we go back and schedule the next meetings.
Okay, I know at one point we talked about continuing the Zoom meetings and possibly getting Dawn involved and how we can continue to do that so that as things come up, community can continue to watch and see what's going on, just like tonight with the back to school information. Have we had time to address that with Dawn, how we can make that happen?
The question for you, Mr. Gregory.
Yeah, no, sorry, I had to unmute. Yeah, that's not a problem at all. We can live stream or YouTube stream any of our, it's just, we have all the technology ready to go. It's really just a board decision on whether you want to do that or not. We can start that immediately in August if that's a board decision.
Thank you.
If we start that in August and someone is not feeling well, can we still continue the Zoom so that that person is available to continue in the board meeting?
I don't think they can vote, but they can be at the board meeting. Isn't that the way it is on a phone call?
I'm saying we're voting now, so.
I would ask OSBA or legal. Because once you have the people
together,
it might be different. So let me check with legal, if that's okay, Mr. Shea.
Yeah, it was my impression when we started that if we were all on Zoom, we could vote. And if you're together and one person's on Zoom, not yet. The state hasn't caught up to technology.
Well, I was just going because of the COVID. That's the only reason.
Right.
Someone's not feeling well and they, you know,
that's a good.
Yes, we shouldn't come then.
And that makes sense to me too. That makes sense.
But check with legal.
Anything else for the good of the group?
No.
Okay. Any need for an executive session? Okay. I have a special board meeting on the 27th at 6:00. In the next regular board meeting on August 18th at 6:00. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's it. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you, everyone, for watching.
Thank you.